This is a really, really good episode of the podcast. You guys can really get a lot out of this. You have to listen to the entire thing. The ending is really, really, really important. You're not going to get the full effect of the ending unless you listen to the entire thing all the way through.
Now tuned into the motherfucking greatest.
Welcome to the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. Your weekly look inside Iowa State, the sports scene, pop culture, and...
You know what? Forget this. When's the last time these guys ever stayed on topic?
About anything. The Cyclone Fanatic Podcast is powered by Charterhouse Real Estate. Charterhouse Real Estate is real estate redefined. Learn more about Charterhouse Real Estate on the forums of Cyclone Fanatic or charterhouseiowa.com.
It's a new beginning.
And now, hello. Please welcome your hosts, Chris Williams.
Are you not aware that I get farty and bloated with a foamy latte?
My mistake, Shackleton.
Your mistake indeed.
Mark Charter.
Because only one thing counts in this life. Get them to sign on the line which is dotted. A always B B C closing. Always be closing.
And Adam Gradham.
There is one person in every group of friends that nobody fucking likes.
What's up, guys? Welcome to a new podcast here at Cyclone Fanatic, courtesy of Charterhouse, of course, where it's the long-awaited report. If you're a loyal listener to the program, much like our friend Jay Burke from the forums, Charter, you had coffee with him earlier this week. How did it go?
It didn't go. Didn't go at all, my friend.
What, you bailed on Jay Burke?
I would never do that, man. I'm going to honor those commitments that I make.
Jay Burke bailed on you?
Jay Burke bailed. Yeah.
Wow.
He bailed.
Runs his mouth on the forums, talks all that junk. You're going to meet him in person, and he bails.
To his defense, and there's no way to prove this, I didn't ask for a doctor's note, but I got an email the morning of the coffee saying that he was a little bit under the weather.
Mm-hmm.
Nerves.
And he wasn't going to make it. It reminds me of when Amy, who works here, when I first hired her, she told me after I interviewed her for the first time, before we met, she puked. She was really nervous to meet and have that interview. And so she threw up. So that might have been what Jay Burke was doing.
A little bit of nerves, yeah.
A little bit of nerves. Didn't know what to expect. Maybe he thought I was going to ask him to buy the coffee. Who knows?
Maybe he thought you were really pissed at him still and you were going to throw a punch.
Maybe. But we're going to try to reconnect or connect, I guess. We haven't connected yet, but we're going to try to get it figured out. He's emailed. So hopefully by the time this next podcast rolls around, we'll have something to talk about. But for today, we don't. Other than William's fresh new haircut.
You guys like it?
Not going to lie, for you, that's a good look.
So I was saying that you're one of those guys that most guys will go the whole year with the same look. You know, Gray's had the same look the entire time I've known him.
Since sixth grade.
Williams will go like, you'll go like Bushman, where your hair's just kind of froing, and then you'll go completely bald because you shave your head every year.
Yeah.
And now I said your new look is military hipster. So it's military on the bottom. It's military on the bottom.
God bless America.
But you got kind of like a swooping thing in the front happening.
I'm thinking about doing this, and Gray will laugh at this. I have not taken a razor to my face since my grandma died.
Which was how long ago?
5 years ago.
Oh, clean shaven, you mean.
I have not gone clean shaven since my grandma
died. So you and I are about the same, because I've had a beard of one type or another for my son's whole life, and he's five.
I'm thinking about shaving.
I think you should, personally.
I mean, the good news about shaving is 3 days later, it's back.
Yeah, exactly.
So
it's a big move for me, though.
What makes you want to do it?
Change it up.
Just feel that baby soft skin one more time?
Yeah.
Well, you got the clean haircut now. I mean, that is...
If I'm going to do it, it'd be right now.
It'd be exactly.
Be the best time to shave.
I agree.
Oh. Hey, we actually have some football stuff to talk about, guys.
Like what?
The Big 12 preseason polls out. Came out today.
I'm guessing Iowa State was down at the bottom.
Iowa State's ninth.
Ninth, yeah.
Which I don't think you can really argue.
No.
I think the only case I could make is I don't think Kansas State will be that good. So I think Iowa State or Kansas State, you could have swapped.
You've been talking for a good 8 months now that you think Bill Snyder's done.
They're done. Stick a fork in the old man.
I can't believe you're doubting him.
Because I've been a big Bill Snyder guy over here.
Yeah,
years.
But you've also doubted him a lot too.
Starting last year, you go on
these roller coaster rides where you kind of love him.
Last year is when I started to doubt him, because it used to be Bloom hated him.
Yeah,
and I would always defend him. Kansas State and Baylor were my programs.
So how many years was Paul Rhodes a coach at Iowa State? 6 years or seven?
Seven years.
Seemed like 20.
We should have beat Kansas State five of the seven years. And he lost every single time to them.
That's accurate.
Wow.
Campbell's going to get it
done.
Those
Kansas State games at Arrowhead, God. The one where we missed the PAT.
Mahoney's got blocked, yeah.
Grant Mahoney's a big fan of the Cyclone Fanatic. He's always tweeting at us.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, nice. JR was roommates with Mahoney in college.
I think we had that mutual connection.
JR says that Mahoney JR, looks like Rajon Rondo.
JR is Gray's brother.
Isn't it Rajon?
Is it Rajon Rondo?
Rajon Rondo.
Rajon Rondo. Yeah, pull up Mahoney. Tell me if you think he looks like Rajon Rondo.
He's white.
That doesn't mean they can't have the same facial.
He's the white doppelganger of a black man.
I'm not the one that says this. JR says he looks like him.
Your Big 12 preseason poll. Oklahoma gets 24 of the first place votes.
That seems fair.
24 of the 26. TCU comes in second with 2. I wouldn't be shocked, though, if TCU somehow won the league. Just because Oklahoma, it seems they're a lot like Iowa. When there's no expectations, they're pretty good. But when everybody picks them to win, like, the national title, they usually go, like, 9-3.
You can't trust me. Look at them last year. They were fantastic for most of the year, but who'd they lose to? Texas.
Yeah.
And Texas was horrible last year. So
I think Kenny Hill could be really good at TCU. I think people are all like, oh, you lost Boykin, which I get. But one, TCU is always good because of their defense, for one. And they return, like, everybody, and Gary Patterson's still their head coach.
You could make an argument that Gary Patterson's the best coach in the Big 12.
Top five in the country, I think.
You could make that argument.
Yeah.
Yeah. As far as just an X's and O's coach.
Yeah, I mean.
The defenses he puts out are fantastic. And
I would not be shocked if TCU beats Oklahoma.
Are you going to make that pick?
No, because I think Oklahoma's still the best team.
Yeah.
Like, on paper, they're still the best. However, like, that wouldn't surprise me, though. That wouldn't be good for the Big 12, though. The Big 12 wouldn't have a playoff team if that happens.
Baylor third?
No. Oklahoma State's third. Baylor slipped to fourth.
It has to be just because of
Browns. Baylor could do
because they probably been
well.
Second.
They would have been second or third.
They probably been second.
Right there with TCU.
Yeah.
Texas is fifth with Texas Tech sixth. That's interesting. I think you could have a legitimate conversation about those two teams.
So how many games does Texas have to win for Charlie Strong to keep his job?
Depends on who they beat, I think.
The Oklahoma win last year was
like
huge for him.
If they go 7-5 and beat Oklahoma and like beat the Texas schools.
Yeah, but that might even be worse.
They
though.
Can't lose to Iowa State. They can't lose to Kansas State. They've got to beat up on the teams that they should beat and then sneak one out against somebody they shouldn't. They got to beat Cal. Go undefeated. They have Notre Dame. If they win that Notre Dame game somehow,
they won't beat Notre Dame.
But
this year.
if he goes 7-5 and doesn't beat anybody of interest, then I think he gets fired.
Which would be too bad. Because people are so – they forget when he got there, how many players did he kick off that team? Double digits.
He kicked
off a ton.
It was more than what Campbell's done.
Yeah, complete rebuild. Even though it's Texas, basketball and football are different. It takes longer in football. So I hope no matter what, they give him at least 2 more years.
I don't think they will.
They should, though. I don't disagree with you because it's Texas and they – fans typically overreact, but they should get.
I think it depends on who they can get.
Well, they're Texas. Well, you gotta think they can get almost anybody.
But I'm saying, like, if John Gruden picks up the phone and calls you,
how many times has John Gruden been dropped in the last 10 years?
I'm just using it as an example because it's a name that's always tossed around.
Sure.
If a guy like that, what is arguably a top 2 or 3 job in the country,
correct,
says I want to go there, you have to fire Charlie Strong to take him. And Strong's buyout's super easy; they could do it and. Blink of an eye.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Gray doesn't like chocolate balls.
No, man, those almond ones, delicious.
I just tweeted about that. People are listening and wondered. We have cake balls here at the office.
We're talking like Big 12 football. We have actual news to talk about, and you got to go in with the chocolate balls conversation.
I can't wait for you guys to quit time on football so I can talk about how I lost a sex bet this weekend.
Oh, God.
You are going to go there.
Can we finish the...
This is the Fawcast, dude. It's like, this is the Fawcast. I just got punched.
Can I please finish the poll and then we can get into your...
Go ahead.
Your fornication.
Go ahead. I wasn't going to say, by the way, for the person that just punched me, who won it. I was just going to talk about myself.
I probably will.
Mark will continue to talk about coitus here on the podcast.
I also have a challenge for our podcast listeners that involves getting a massage. So we got to talk about that, too. So stay tuned. Back to football.
I gave this take on KXNO yesterday, and Gray, I think you agree with me. I think we've talked about this, about how I like Patrick Mahomes better than Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, I heard you talking with Woody about that. I actually think you took what I said and used it. Yeah,
I said that, and you're like, I totally agree.
Just source me. You agreed with me. I said this last week. That's all right, though.
No.
No, you're the one with the platform on KXNO to say this.
But I really do. I'd take I would take Patrick Mahomes over Baker Mayfield.
You know,
and I guarantee
for college football, you can make an argument that Baker Mayfield's better. Just because of he's got the Johnny Manziel. But if I'm taking an NFL quarterback, give me Pat Mahomes. That dude can sling it.
The reason I say this is just Texas Tech's just such a curious team at six because they're going to it's like vintage Texas Tech football now. You know they're going to be really good on offense.
Terrible on defense.
But that defense last year was a train wreck.
And yet we still only ran the ball 10 times in the first half.
That was the game where we publicly called for Mangino to be fired.
Yeah, well, you publicly called for it. I privately did.
I threw it out there at about 11 o'clock at night after about 15 beers. I was like, screw it. I'm done with this.
May or may not have been sitting in someone's basement drinking at the time.
Keep us on wood, boys.
I was so mad. Gray and I were at a wedding, Kim Pullen's wedding.
Kim Pullen, yep.
Heartland Finishes, friend of the program.
At Jack Trice.
Yeah, and – it was so awkward because we're watching the second half of that game in the Jacobson building with all these like suits from Iowa State.
Just infuriated with the
I was so mad with the play calling in that game.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, anyways.
Breaking news, boys, involving Iowa State.
Okay.
Did you see this? George Niang jerseys.
Yeah.
Are available. Niang jerseys are for sale in their store. Go get them.
Are you a jersey guy?
Absolutely not.
I wouldn't wear it, but I'm going to buy one and put it in my basement.
If you put it in your basement, it's got to be signed, doesn't it?
No, I don't think so. I mean, it adds to it.
Framed.
Don't get me wrong.
Framed
would
help.
Framed. That's the key.
Yeah.
No, I would not. No.
Buy one and wear it?
No.
No, I'm not a big jersey guy either. I don't have a problem with jerseys. I'm just not a jersey guy.
I don't mind. The only man's jersey who I will wear is Harrison Smith of the Vikings.
You have football jerseys. I've seen you wear a lot of football jerseys.
Usually, yeah. Like, I enjoy the football.
There's a big difference, by the way, between wearing a football jersey and a basketball jersey.
Yeah.
It's a totally different look.
You have to be ripped.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know.
No, you wear the long sleeve underneath, you know? You wear
turtleneck.
Yeah, turtleneck.
Part of it goes back to high school. Did you guys go to high schools where the day of the game you'd wear your jersey if you played football?
Yeah. Yep.
The basketball guys don't do that.
No, they wear their warm-ups.
But they didn't wear their jersey. That's my point. So it's just a basketball jersey is not an item that you just wear, you know, to whatever. Football jerseys are more
accepted. If you did, you'd wear like a white sleeve.
I'm going to buy the Niang jersey and I'm just going to wear it around.
No,
I'll do it.
You got to get that thing signed.
Can we make a wager where you show up to an Iowa State basketball game later this year to do your job and you're wearing a Niang jersey?
They probably kicked me out.
No T-shirt underneath
it. No, it's not Iowa State.
Just a George jersey with nothing underneath it. That would look classic. I would shell out some money for that one.
To think of jerseys I have. I like jerseys more than you guys do. My Warren Moon jersey.
You're very proud of that one.
I love my Warren Moon jersey. Chris Carter, Randy Moss.
Do you have
a Corey Stringer jersey? Color.
God bless Corey Stringer.
Do you have a Dante Culpepper jersey?
No. I had an Anthony Carter a long time ago. Joey Browner.
Yeah.
Trying to think of ones that I still currently have, though.
I don't think that's it. I don't have any.
I have a Walter Payton.
I have my Fred McGriff jersey.
Oh, that's Crime Dog. That's a good one, though. Yeah.
Crime Dog.
I have T-shirts. Like, I have a T-shirt that's got Favre's name on the back, and that's it.
Jeez.
That's as crazy as I'll get. We asked Owen if he wanted to wear a jersey of the greatest football player ever to live the other day, and he picked out Brett Favre jersey.
Threw it on,
yeah.
The worst sports jersey.
I hope it was a purple one.
It was purple. It was Vikings.
The worst wearable sports jersey that I ever purchase that I regretted the most wasn't a jersey, was a hat. Was I was at the Twins game when I was growing up, and for some reason I went to the, you know, out where the concessions are, and they have all the hats you can pick from.
Kirby Puckett, didn't you?
No, I didn't. I picked the old Pittsburgh Pirate hat. Do you remember that one? It was like, it didn't look like any other hat.
Mm-hmm.
Black and yellow, the ugliest thing ever.
Yeah.
I thought I should rock that for a while. That didn't last long. That's a horrible hat.
What did you do? You wear it once?
Purchase.
What's that?
Wear it once?
Probably. Yeah. Yeah, and then I realized that was a stupid, stupid buy.
Was it more dumb than buying that man purse of yours?
No, I still, I used that.
The $2,000 man purse?
It wasn't $2,000. It was $800. And it's a nice bag.
Why do you think Josh Burke canceled on your date?
Do you think he walked in, saw you, turned around, and walked out?
Well, no, I wasn't there.
He's like, oh,
I wasn't there.
I was gonna go out this coffee date with Charter until I saw his man purse.
Did you guys ever run track at all?
Not into high school.
So anyone that's run track, especially indoor track meets, would know what I mean when I say track meet farts.
Oh, dude, I used to get those in cross country.
So basically,
just like the start, you just start farting.
Well, not only that, but like, so
yes,
before a track meet, before an event would happen, like the 4x100. Imagine the 4x100, right? And they call for you to go sign in for the 4x1. So all the 4x1 teams go down, and you know it's pre-race, but they're signing in and getting lane assignments and all of that stuff. But a lot of the guys, especially in track meets, are nervous.
Yeah, they're farting all over the place.
So when you're nervous, you get that stinky fart going.
Yeah.
So, like, if you're at an indoor track meet, it just reeks, like, stinky farts in there.
It's
so
not
maybe,
the silent ones.
Maybe Jay Burke had a little bit of the track meet farts that morning, and he felt bad.
Do you ever look back at it and wonder, why did I get nervous just to run? All I was doing was running hard. Why did I ever get nervous?
I think you don't want to let the team down.
The relays, it's the exchange.
Even if you were running just a 100-meter dash, you know what I mean? All you're doing is running straight ahead.
Dude, I know.
If you think about it.
In hindsight, you're correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, but in the moment, you're like, you feel nervous about it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Have I told you guys my district track meet 100-meter dash story?
No one wants to hear it.
It's funny.
Let's hear this time.
So I was like the JV guys, number one or whatever, like the 100.
Your senior year?
No, I think I was a sophomore or a freshman. I'm not even sure. And our guy went down. Our varsity guy did, like our top varsity guy. So I was like the reserve to get thrown in there. Well, our guy was very highly ranked in the district. And guess who I'm lining up next to in the like main event varsity race? Adam Aluska.
Oh, yeah. You're not beating him.
Oh, my God.
And what was the race?
The 100-meter dash.
That race was over in 10 meters, dude.
Dude, like he was halfway done by the time I got out of the block.
Yeah. Didn't he ran something crazy fast, but they said it was wind aided.
10-2, I think.
Dude,
state record.
I think I was last in that race by like 2 seconds.
There's no question that he was a great athlete, but when somebody tells me the state record was set at a Carroll track meet handheld, I'm gonna question that time.
Was it really?
A little bit. Yeah. It wasn't like a state meet time. It was a handheld independent type.
A man with the last name of Aluska happened to be
probably,
my man.
Yeah. I mean, he was fast. There's no question about it, but I don't know if he was that fast.
But he was fast, and he was 6'5".
Yeah.
He was a freak.
He should have played football. He should have been a tight end.
I remember watching him long jump, too, that same meet, because I was long jumping against him. Like, he didn't even, like, stretch or anything. Like, nothing.
Yeah.
Like, they call his name, strips his sweats, goes and jumps, beats everybody by, like, 2 inches.
Yeah.
Turns around and walks off. Doesn't even like complete their. He was so cocky about it too.
Yeah,
but he deserved it because he was.
Sometimes you expect athletes like that to be great at everything. I was playing a softball game last year, the year before, probably last year I think, and Tim DeWay was in it, and Aluska was in it, and you expect those guys just to be great baseball players too, and neither one of them was doing much that you would have thought. These are two of the best athletes that I was ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
It just didn't correlate, I guess.
Did they turn singles into triples though?
Nope. Everyone's getting a little bit older.
Oh yeah.
Bruner was out there, 7 foot, you know.
He's not 7 foot.
Well,
he's 6'7".
He's a tall dude. He's a real tall dude, and they put him at second base. I'm like, that's what you want. You want a middle infielder that's almost 7 feet tall. It's like that didn't look very good. So
I think Bruner's working at Principal down here now in Des Moines.
Is he?
Yeah. Little tidbit I thought I'd throw in there. I just heard that the other day. Are we going to get back to talking Big 12?
Can we finish this preseason poll?
Oh, yeah. Wait, we're still on that. Okay.
Well, first, at what point and maybe it already is, are we going to realize that Cliff Kingsbury is all flash, no substance? Or do we give him more time?
He's too sexy, dude. You got to see past his eyes.
What are your expectations for Cliff Kingsbury at Texas Tech?
Well, people talked about him early on like he was a great, great coach and new and innovative and all
this
stuff.
I think he's a good, really good offensive coach.
I mean, they run that open.
My point is, like, I think he's going to bowl games winning 6, 7, 8 games a year. Like, to me, that
– have they won 8 games under him?
I think they did the 1 year.
Did they?
Maybe not. Maybe it was 7. My point is, like, what are you expecting? Do you expect Texas Tech and Cliff Kingsbury to win Big 12 titles? Because I don't.
No, I expect him to win 8 to 9 games, and I don't think he ever will.
Really? Your expectation in Lubbock would be 8, 9 games every year?
He's with
as many points as they score, yeah.
With as many points, yeah. I expect a little more out of him.
Okay. I'm with Gray on this one. It's rare, but I'm with Gray. I would think 8 wins is your minimum.
I mean, he's like our age, and he's in Lubbock, which they're always traditionally like a bowl team, but you're acting like this. He's doing about what I thought he would do, I guess.
Okay.
Just consistently get him in bowl games. He's never going to win a title.
I don't understand why it's so tough to be
decent on defense. Not great, not good, just decent. Why is that so tough to do? You can't find a defensive coordinator anywhere that can get you there?
Time out. Now, they're bad, but I would also say that when you look at time of possession and stuff, like those offenses score so fast, the defense is on the field all the time.
They're gassed.
So it's why you can't just go yards per game and say, oh, their defense sucks. Yeah. You have to go yards per possession, yards per play. You have to – because the analytics of it, like it's almost impossible to have a highly ranked defense at Baylor or Texas Tech or any of those schools.
Do you know what Cliff Kingsbury's record is in the Big 12? 10-17. You take out Iowa State and Kansas, and that takes out, 6 wins in those 3 years? He's 4-17 against the rest of the league.
It's not very good.
That's bad. That's bad.
Yeah, it's not ideal.
I honestly think
he
gets a lot of hype
two of the 3 years.
Of how he
went 4-8 2 years ago.
Yeah. He had the one bad year I knew. Yeah, his first year was his best, right?
Yeah, they went 8-5, but, you know, that was with –
They
was
did. I knew they won 8.
But they went 4-5 in conference, so they probably had one of those patty cake –
Again, my point is, though, like, you got to set – what are your expectations for Texas Tech football? Like, to me, they're always a bottom half of the Big 12 team.
Dude, if Kingsbury –
other than when Leach had him, like, peak every now and then, but that wasn't very often.
If Kingsbury looked like Mangino, nobody would talk about Kingsbury. I'm telling you, it has a lot to do with how he looks. That's young, fair. Swagger, good-looking. Yeah. People care.
That's probably fair.
He stands out. He's not Bob Stoops, you know. Stoops is an okay good-looking guy with a dad bod, you know.
I don't know, man. Have you ever been to Lubbock?
No. Do I have any desire to go to Lubbock? No.
That's my whole deal. Like, I don't know. I feel like if Texas Tech, they keeping these people in check, they should be pretty happy if they ever go 8-5.
4, 5, 6, 7. So he started his career 7-0 there that first year, and then he lost 5 in a row.
Yeah, they were a total fraud the whole time. They were 7-0.
So since he went 7-0. There, he's 12-19 as coach.
The 7-0, though, it was a terrible 7-0. They didn't beat anybody.
They beat TCU, but I think that was the year before TCU joined the Big 12.
No, TCU was 4-8 that year or whatever.
Yeah, they were terrible. Iowa State didn't beat them.
Was that the year we beat them down in Fort Worth? The Josh Wins year?
I'm trying to remember.
Yeah.
I don't know. Regardless, they weren't
ready. We can agree to disagree. I just have lower expectations for Texas Tech football than you do, I guess.
You're right there. They did go 4-8 that year, but they did beat Iowa State 21-17 at Jack Trice Stadium.
Oh, yeah. We should have won that game.
Shocking that we lost a game we should have won.
How many games like that do we have
left? I can't believe that ever happened.
Well, that's the thing about this preseason poll is, okay, Iowa State's picked 9th, which is probably where I would put them. Now, I feel like I could make a decent argument to put Kansas State 9, but however, I think the media gets it right by doing it the way they do with Kansas State, Iowa State, Kansas to round it out.
Definitely the safest way to go.
But the difference between like 5, which is Texas, and 9, which is Iowa State, is pretty slim at this point.
If Iowa State, and we're beating a dead horse here, if they had an offensive line, I think we'd all feel comfortable saying, hey, they could get up to 5th. They could.
Now, if they had an offensive line, I'd probably have them at 7-5 this year going into the year.
Yeah, but instead you have my 4-8?
4-8, probably. Maybe 5-7.
Yeah.
Maybe. I'd probably give them 5-7 just because there's usually when you make a coaching change, there's a bump. You see some sort of a bump.
You a little bit of freshness.
Yeah, I don't know why, but you do.
Are you naively hoping, though, that the coaching staff is very well aware that they don't have an offensive line and has reacted accordingly this year? So the play calling will show that they know they don't have a good offensive line.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, I mean, they know more than any of us what their offensive line looks like. So I would think that they're smart enough to call plays.
They're not going to have a lot of seven-step drops and give your quarterback a lot of time back there and hope things go well.
It's hard. I mean, here's the thing, though. It's hard to hide a bad offensive line because the other team knows it, too. So you want to do quick passes? That's okay. They're going to jam you at the line anyway. So you're going to have to beat them. Look at what other teams have done against Iowa State in the past. They jam the wide receivers and say, hey, try to beat us over the top. We never could because their quarterback couldn't get enough time. Wide receivers weren't getting separation.
Which that's my worry again for this year.
It's going to be the same thing. Same thing. And I'm not trying to kill Sam Richardson, but Sam wasn't very good.
He wouldn't get rid of the ball.
Just drop back and just throw. You watch these other teams. Baylor will do it four times in a row against us. If you're going to jam our wide receivers, we'll throw it deep, and we might throw two straight incompletions, but we'll throw a third time again, and more than likely we'll get one
touchdown
out of three plays.
Yeah.
Touchdown or 30, 40-yard gain.
That's my biggest fear with, like, Lanning is that we don't ever truly learn how good he can be.
I don't know. We got a new regime.
I hope. Let's see.
Anything could happen, that's for sure.
I'm just interested to see, like, how much they lean on Mike Warren. Because we know he's good, and it's easier to run block than it is pass block. But, like, if they run the guy, I'm concerned about his durability.
He's not a big guy.
No, he's not. And there's really not – I mean, there's, I think, guys behind him who can take a snap here or there and give him a break. But the problem is this now. I mean, this year every defense is going to be keen on Mike Warren, mm-hmm. where that wasn't really the case a year ago. That's my big concern when you're talking about not having a line, just these guys getting killed.
How far away are we from the first game? 5 weeks?
We are like 52 days away.
So we're also 52 days away from finding out what the new walk-in song is going to be. I'm actually excited about that.
Did you listen to my Campbell interview?
I did.
Yeah, he kind of gave some hints, but he didn't let it all out.
I so wish they would do this, but they won't because it would be mean and trolling. But if they started with Smoke on the Water and then screeched it to a halt, that would be so epic. People would love it, but it would look bad against Rhodes. So they
won't
do it.
If they started with that song, you would be irate.
No, I wouldn't, because I would know it was about to end and something good was going to kick in. I mean, there's so many good choices they could go with, and they don't.
Your Twitter would blow up.
God,
it would be awesome.
I feel bad about that.
Awesome, awesome.
Speaking of interviews, did you listen to Chris Babb?
I did. I sent you a message. Yeah.
What did you send me a message on?
I sent you a message on Slack.
Oh, I'm sorry. I've been busy all
said
time.
Kudos to
you. I have been on Slack.
He's been slacking.
No, it was good. Babb was a little, you know, he's a little. He sounded like a coach almost, you know. He's kind of.
That's just Chris.
Yeah.
That's how he talks.
Yeah, but no, it was good.
He's a skilled speaker.
He was. He wasn't going to give you any, like.
Dude, I thought it was really interesting when he talked about how there were actual discussions to redshirt Deontay Garrett.
That was the most interesting
part.
Like,
to me, like, I've never heard anybody admit that that actually happened.
You look at it, that team would have been so – they didn't have a point guard. Who's their point guard?
They would have gone to the Final Four.
Was Chris Allen the point guard most of the year?
Yeah, they had Chris Allen and Scott Kristofferson and Royce White were the three. Remember the Scott Kristofferson catastrophe? They started, like, the first 10 games trying to have him run the point.
Yeah.
And then they kind of shifted to Allen. Like, if they would have had Lucius or Deontay – that year, my God.
That team would have been really good.
They would have been stacked.
Yeah.
Deontay Garrett's a perennial, but he's an NBA point guard.
Yep. And
he started to – he learned how to shoot. But I thought that was
– that team, though, without Deontay Garrett, Fred's first year would have won 8 games tops.
Oh, yeah.
They would – I mean, they won 16. I don't even know if they would have won 8. They would have been
the worst,
one of the worst teams in the country.
But they had a lot of close losses. Like, do you remember, like, the Oklahoma State game stands out to me when Big Silky was going off in the first half?
Yep.
They had a lot of really close losses.
Nebraska, they should have won
Kansas
that game.
Kansas State at home, I remember. Because we were still doing that post-game show.
Yeah.
With Tron on KXNO.
At Estas.
Yeah. And so I just remember all those painful losses.
I'm trying to figure out who Big Silky is.
Jamie Vanderbeeken.
Oh, okay.
You remember him?
Yeah.
You didn't call him
I remember
Silky?
Estas, too. No,
I like Vanderbeeken. I'd love to have Vanderbeeken back.
Oh, yeah.
Just stand in the corner and shoot, big man.
Did anyone call him Dawson's Creek?
Did you hear that, though, Charter?
James Vanderbeek.
I don't know if you've heard the Chris Babb podcast yet.
No, I have not.
He admitted yesterday. Do you remember the era we're talking about?
Yes.
Fred's first year with Deontay Garrett
not
was
good.
A freshman.
Yeah.
Or he was a senior.
Yep.
There were actual, according to Chris Babb, discussions about just having Garrett sit out that year so he could play with Royce and all the transfers the next year.
That would have been unprecedented. I want to – is that ever happened?
Coming
in
from him,
yeah,
though?
If you're Jamie Vanderbeeken, like, what the hell do you say, like, if that would have happened? You can't do that to the guys who are on that team.
No, we're tanking this year, boys.
Yeah.
Well, if you remember, though, he was only one of three players returning on that whole team.
Yeah.
I mean, you think it was him, Scott Kristofferson was back, and Deontay. That was it, right? And then they went out and they got Anderson, and they – picked up a couple other guys here. There, Calvin Godfrey played on that team.
Calvin Godfrey. He went out to have a nice career.
Yeah, he's all right, yeah.
At the low major level.
Yeah, he's all right. Did he end up at Memphis for a while?
Sean Taggart went to Memphis.
Yeah, where'd Calvin Godfrey end up?
Calvin Godfrey went to a JUCO after he left Iowa State, and then he went to some low major –
I got
where he was like the league's player of the year, I think.
You guys are like Rain Man when it comes to old Iowa State
Memphis.
Teams.
That was right.
He did go to Memphis?
Well, first he went to Southern.
Where it was. Okay.
And then his last year was at Memphis.
Yeah, he was a grad transfer.
He didn't
transfer.
Do much at Memphis.
He was a grad transfer and went to Memphis.
Yeah.
Okay.
You guys always remember these teams going back, you know, 15 years, like all the guys that were on
Man,
it.
If you get to the – now, if it's pre-Wayne Morgan for basketball for me and pre – we'll start at Chizik, really. I mean, at the end of the McCarney years, I was around. I feel like I can hang with just about anybody. But you get before that, like, I'm worthless.
So in the last 15, 20 years, what was the worst Iowa State basketball team? And you could just go by record, obviously. But was there one that jumps out more than any other as far as just total crap?
McDermott's first team, probably. Well, he had Mike Taylor.
Yeah.
Mike Taylor is an NBA player.
McDermott's team when he had to start Sean Haluska and Petey.
Yeah.
That was the worst.
Yeah.
When you're starting two walk-ons in the Big
12. Two walk-ons.
And honestly, they were great walk-ons.
Yeah.
If
they would have been guys you could have brought off the bench.
If they would have been your eighth and ninth dudes.
Then you'd have been perfectly fine with it. Because they weren't bad players, but they were bad starters for a Big 12 team.
Yeah. I think Fred's first team, too, was pretty bad.
But they at least had Deontay.
Yeah, they competed, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those guys, and Fred played the style that allowed them to be able to pull an upset here or there.
Yeah.
Even if they didn't always pull it, like, Fred's style allowed them to potentially do it. Like,
if you remember that Greg McDermott team, too, that team was supposed to be stacked. Mike Taylor had to kick off the team.
Wes Johnson.
Lucas Dagger got ruled ineligible. Wes Johnson broke his foot.
Yep. Stress fracture or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, he had just a bunch of bad luck happen there. I'm going to find out a little bit of information here. I'm going to run down some players. But they went 14-18 his second year there.
Yeah.
That was the worst team.
Do you remember Greg's first game in conference? I'll never forget it. I was watching it at Chasers.
Yep.
Remember Chasers?
Yep, yep.
And they went down to Columbia of Greg's first conference game as Iowa State head coach and beat Missouri. And Missouri was decent at that time.
And everyone's like, this is it, man. Yeah. This is it. He's arrived. And no.
I remember that didn't. Greg's first team because Rashawn Clark was like the one holdover from the Morgan years. And I remember they had to, it took them like a buzzer beater to beat the EA Sports All-Stars in the first exhibition.
Chaminade.
Not a good sign.
Marathon Oil. Then they used to play that team.
Every year.
Yeah. Like every year you're like, who? Who is this team?
I remember it was back during my dark days when I was a Hawk fan and you'd watch those like exhibition games on Raycom.
You're still a Hawk fan.
Oh, God. I think we all know that's not the case.
Still a Hawk fan.
You guys just – I should just let you all look at my notifications on Twitter.
Yeah.
And I think it would prove that I'm not an Iowa fan.
Probably.
But although they're a lot more nicer to me than they used to be, the trolls.
That's people come around. We're in a time of peace.
I'm not a hater. Yeah, we are in a time of peace. Wait till September.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
That McDermott team lost at Bradley. They got beat.
At Bradley, yeah. Speaking of former Hawks, I think an old Hawkeye was on that team. But
we lost at home in Hilton Coliseum to Northern Iowa by 23.
Oh, God.
I mean, can you imagine that happening right now?
Nope.
Not only losing to Northern Iowa in Hilton,
our server would break.
By 23.
Okay.
We lost it by to Drake by 35.
Shut
year.
Up.
35 point. That was the year that they were really good. But still, 35.
Yeah, but still, that's
embarrassing. Emenecker.
35. I remember I was watching that. Gosh, I forget what bar I was at. And it was – they couldn't bring me drinks fast enough. That was awful.
That's how I felt the Royce year at the Knapp Center. When we lost it. Remember, because Iowa State was like a 2-point favorite, and everybody's like, oh, my God, put your mortgage on it.
I may or may not have lost some money on that game.
Okay, go on.
Everyone got a little excited because in Vegas, we went and beat Purdue by 3. And Deontay Garrett, that was his freshman. He actually played really good as a freshman that game.
Okay.
Let's see, lost to Baylor. Kansas beat us by about 34. Two back-to-back games.
In Hilton?
No. We lost. We played at Kansas State. We lost by 34, and then we came back the next game and lost by 35. Back-to-back games.
Jeez.
I mean, seriously, imagine that happening right now.
I can't.
We lose by 18, and the place goes crazy.
You lose by 3 at home, and people freak out.
These are on the road. We lost at Nebraska.
Was that the Alex Marich team?
I'll pull up the recap.
No, here. Alex Marich was in the Morgan years.
Yeah, he scored like 37 against us. We never did.
We just played that stupid zone and refused to guard him. God, I hated that zone.
Oh, remember who was on this team? Alex Thompson. Remember Alex Thompson?
I do, and then he transferred to Iowa, right? No, he transferred. Where did Traitor. He start? Did he play at Iowa first?
I think he might have played at Iowa first.
Yeah, he was a Hawk at some point, I know.
He's obviously a very important player for us to not be able to remember.
Remember Ross Marsden?
I remember Ross Marsden, yeah. Yep.
Ames kid. He was actually fairly highly ranked, too.
Brackens was on this team, too, but he was a freshman. Deontay was a freshman. And Wesley Johnson had that ankle where he was barely playing at the beginning of the year. And he never should have played.
Did you guys listen to that Jimmy Butler podcast with Bill Simmons talking about how he was going to commit to Iowa State?
Yeah.
Because you haven't heard this, Charter?
I heard that he was going to do it. I haven't heard the podcast.
So he told Bill Simmons that he was going to commit to Iowa State and sign with Iowa State because he went and visited and Wes Johnson was his tour guide.
Yeah.
And Wes was all like, man, we're going to take over here. We're going to win a national title, all this stuff. And then like 2 days later, Wes Johnson transferred to Syracuse.
So in the middle of the night.
But think about that.
Wes Johnson and Jimmy Butler
together. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, you would have had Deontay Garrett.
Yep.
Mike Taylor.
Yep. Well, no, Mike would have been gone by then.
Okay. You would have had Deontay Garrett, Wes Johnson, Craig Brackens, and I'm missing somebody.
Jimmy Butler. It would have been a pretty good team.
Slightly.
And listen, I love Greg McDermott, and he didn't do a good job here. However, he took some bad breaks.
He had to, I mean, from the get-go. When he showed up here thinking that Stenson and Blaylock were going to come back, they didn't.
Yeah.
They left.
Which that whole thing, by the way, I'm pretty sure was sabotaged from the get-go.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I have no proof of that. But I think if you talk to anybody who is on the inside back then, like those guys all knew they weren't coming back and said
to
they were coming back.
Sean Taggart.
Yeah.
Everybody.
That actually would have been
a pretty good
team.
Greg only had like 3 scholarship guys when he took the job.
Yeah.
Well, if you think about the first class they got, they did a pretty damn good job.
They found some diamonds.
They got 2 NBA guys, Mike Taylor and Wes Johnson.
Yeah. Dude, I'll never forget the first time I ever saw Wes Johnson looking at him and being like, that guy will be the best player ever to play at Iowa State in the NBA.
Dude, now, he just looked like a player.
He's not there, but he's still – I mean, he's going to have a nice 10-year NBA career or so. But he got – the way he jumped off the floor was unbelievable.
Who else was in that class? Doty Dunson.
Doty Dunson, yeah.
Corey McIntosh.
Doty.
Corey McIntosh. Bloom was bigger than Corey McIntosh.
Bloom. It's funny.
It's funny because I have it in a frame in my office more as just to make fun of myself than anything. But when I was with Cyclone Nation and we were publishing that magazine, we had Cyclone Nation magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And I put on the cover before that year, like our basketball preview magazine. It was like a close-up of Corey McIntosh and Mike Taylor. And the headline was Men at Work.
Yeah.
But Corey McIntosh weighed like 140 pounds.
Yeah, they had him listed as 170. There's no way he weighed 170
140.
Pounds.
What's Bloom weigh? Bloom's probably like 125.
No.
Bloom's
weighs more than that.
You know
he's 150.
You know who the biggest recruit in the whole class was?
Man.
Biggest recruit. I'll be
like
shocked.
The highest ranked?
Highest ranked recruit in that whole class.
Was it that Ivan Cherlu?
Churyov?
Churyov, yeah.
No,
yeah.
That was back in the Wayne Morgan days. NBA needed him.
Ross Marsden was highly ranked, but yeah, I don't know he if he was in
it was
that
with Wayne Morgan's class too.
Oh, Marsden was Morgan guy?
Yeah.
Was it Luca?
Nope. Luca was the next year, 2007.
Luca was the next year. Jeff Rutter got him. Give me a second here. Let me go through these guys in my head.
You'll never get this, and it'll be surprising because people could not wait for him. He would have been like,
yeah, I know
this,
exactly who
this
you're
version
about.
Of George Niang is what people thought he's going to be like, George Niang-esque.
Oh,
body build, shoot the three, go inside.
I maybe not don't know who you're talking about.
Corey then. Johnson from Minnesota.
Yep, I remember him. Him and then there was that other kid, Lawrence Westbrook.
Westbrook, yeah.
Do you remember him?
Yeah, but he never came. He never showed up.
Because they asked – he was a pain in the ass, I remember. And he ended up at, like, Arizona State.
Yeah.
Lawrence Westbrook did.
Yep.
You guys are in
that
deep.
That dude.
You're talking about roster players that never even came to the university.
Charter, this is what erects me. Conversation like that. I love these conversations.
Remember Farnell Deegan?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
What about
this is what erects me. I've never heard that one before.
Kellen Lee, Mike Ivanovich.
That guy who Jessen Gray transferred from Indiana.
Yeah, he's a Davenport dude.
Speaking of erections, we need a Fokker volunteer. We really do.
Don't kill this conversation.
I have to.
This is like the Hold most on. Fun I've had on the podcast. Yeah.
Before I pass it off to you, Charter, yeah. Bloom and I did this one night. Where did we play golf at? Blank? We played nine at Blank one day. And we ended up, you know, after like a post round of golf, you just go out and have a beer, right?
Absolutely.
Bloom and I ended up at the Blank clubhouse until for like 5 hours this night doing this exact thing. We were going through and we were playing like drinking games on yep. old Wayne Morgan era starting lineups and stuff. Oh my God, it was the most fun time I've ever had.
He really knows how to have a good time.
I love it. Okay,
I
Mark.
got one.
Okay,
a question for Charter here.
Great.
We need who's, to we need to do the Wayne player, Morgan trivia sometime.
Who was the player Wayne Morgan recruited who was built like an offensive lineman?
Oh, I know this. Can I do this?
I would have no idea.
He weighed 330 pounds on a good day.
To play on a fast place.
Yeah, I don't know.
It was Baby Shaq, Aaron Agnew.
Aaron Agnew.
I used to have lunch with him in the UDCC. Great guy. He told me.
Great guy.
So soft, though.
His freshman year, he told a bunch of us who were sitting there having lunch that his plan was to go straight to the pros.
Yeah, well, sure.
He's like, yeah, I'm just going to be here for a year, and I'm going to the NBA.
Yeah. Nope.
Best of luck to you, buddy.
Nope, didn't happen. So, yeah, we need a Fokker to volunteer to go two doors down and get a massage.
What do you mean?
Well, Sarah's sitting here. Sarah has got major, major issues with our neighbor two doors down. It's a massage parlor.
Okay.
And we think there's some heavy shenanigans happening over there for a number of reasons.
Okay, you do realize you could get, like, sued for talking about this.
No, I'm just saying we think there's some shenanigans going on.
He's not saying there are shenanigans going. He's just speculating.
We believe there's some shenanigans going on, and it's based on a few things. A lot of out of state license plates showing up, leaving. We're not exactly sure how they're making.
Maybe they just have a large clientele.
Making profits down there. They've got signs on their back door with cell phone numbers to call them anytime, basically day or night. So if you call at 3 a.m., they're going to come open up the shop for you. We're not real sure. And then they have things in there called table showers. We looked this up. It's apparently where you, like, lay down at a table and then they take a nozzle and, like, shower you. That's a thing. So we basically need somebody to go in there.
There's some investigating.
And I'll pay for the massage. You get a free massage if you're willing to volunteer.
What if?
And basically, we want to know if they get offered a rub and tug.
You should give it to Jay Burke.
That's what whoever takes us up on this free massage needs to report back on the experience and
Mark,
see if they ask for
I'm
a bit more.
Looking what out for you legally, we should probably move on.
Here's my question.
I haven't mentioned the name. There
what,
you go.
What if they offer a rub and tug? Are you paying for the difference there? Or does the guy,
I would pay for the difference. And to further back up these claims, there was another massage parlor, I believe by the same name, up in Ames that recently got busted for shenanigans. So, you know, there's nothing concrete here. It's just speculation at this point.
Okay, we need to move on.
My back's feeling a little tight right now. I'm just kidding.
Gray would be the last one. Mr. Gray, I won't go to the Playboy Mansion if invited. Would never go do such a thing.
True story.
This is Fawcast 87.
Six, I think.
Are we on six now?
86, yeah.
86.
Any before we go, do we have any updates on the Fokker 100?
We got stuff in the works.
Okay.
That's what he always says. It doesn't mean anything.
You're on the
What are we thinking? What are we thinking? We having it like somewhere? Like
we're
going to Thunderhead?
We're going to do it somewhere.
Do a big bash.
Do a bash.
Big one. We're going to throw like balloons and balloons will drop from the ceiling.
face painters.
We will not do any of that.
Maybe we'll invite some masseuses.
Maybe masseuses
can get,
will
maybe
come
you
over.
Get some more of those nice soft Fawcast shirts. Those were a big hit.
I wear my Charter House shirt everywhere.
I do could you? Do that.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, we need to get a redesign on that thing.
I only did Sarah pick those out? They're pretty average.
The shirts? No, that was all me. Sarah used to own a clothing store. I'm sure she's much more fashionable than I am. She would have done a better job. Next time I'm going to let her do it.
Are you going to tell your story about Kansas City?
We need, no, no.
No?
No.
Chris is saying no.
Mark and his – I'll put it this way.
Daddy Williams.
I'll put it very blank.
Okay, sure.
Mark and his colleagues, they had a coitus contest during their trip to Kansas City.
Now to be a little bit more specific,
no, I think that's all that people need to know.
It was with our individual spouses, our designated spouses. It wasn't with each other.
Contest to see how much.
But I will tell you this. I will man up and tell you that. There were two contributing factors. One, a wife who's pregnant at about 8 months, and two, she can't drink any alcohol. I came in dead last.
Yeah,
it wasn't even close.
No coitus for Mark.
So the rest of the office. Blew me away.
I'm glad you kept talking there.
So to speak.
This is even making me uncomfortable.
I'm glad you finished that sentence.
So, yeah, it was a good weekend away with the team, though.
You guys went to a Royals game?
We went to a Royals game and kind of sat in our seats because it was a million degrees.
My parents were at that game.
Behind
the
plate.
They said it was awful.
Brutal.
Heat. Yeah.
Brutal. And they have those kind of plasticky seats that – or like 50 degrees hotter than the air temperature.
Your butt just like sticks to
it. Oh, I mean, the type of game where you're sitting there and sweat's just rolling down your back. You're not even moving and you're just sweating. It was hot. But we went in the indoor area. I had Dippin' Dots for the first time in my life, by the way. That's an interesting little snack.
Pretty average.
It's just weird to eat little ice cream pellets.
Yeah.
That's an interesting thing.
But you have to get, every time we take the kids to Adventureland.
You have to get Dippin' Dots?
Got to get Dippin' Dots.
I don't go to Adventureland.
No?
I put my hand in poop there once. I won't go back.
What's your fault?
It's disgusting.
Your radio partner goes about every day, it seems
like.
Yeah,
but every – I mean
– constant posting from there.
I was sitting at a bench one time, and there was poop on it.
How do you know it was poop and not pudding?
Because it was brown and it smelled.
You smelled it? You smelled your fingers?
Yes. I was like, what is this? Is this chocolate?
At least you didn't do the taste test.
Did you see his tweet the other night at like 2 in the morning?
About what?
I love my little girl.
William says.
Oh, yeah.
Is anyone else selfishly like it when their kid wakes up in the middle of the
night? I love it.
That BS tweet that you wrote?
It was the worst tweet I've ever read in my life.
You know what? Like, I used to really hate it because she used to do it all the time. Now she doesn't do it all the time. We have really good bonding moments at 2 a.m. And she wants me now.
I'd rather have my bonding moments at 7 p.m.
Da-da. Like, it's awesome.
Well, that's all she can
say. I'm her hero.
We're about to welcome in our third child in about a month from now, and the only thing I'm thinking about is hope this dude sleeps, man. That's it. Getting up in the middle of the night, hey, it's part of it, but not fun at all.
Only for, like, 3 months, and then over it.
Yeah.
Your tweet was awful.
Great tweet.
You should feel bad for it.
Fantastic.
Did he get a bunch of crap, by the way, for that tweet?
I get crap.
Only really immature asses gave me crap.
Gray.
All right. I got to go.
Later.
See you guys.